it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The only thing that's ever been up my butt was the finger of the proctologist.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Okay, I know this is a this is not a visual medium, but I'm about to, in our Zoom here, I'm about to try on something. I want to get your instant reaction, both of you. Okay. And then I'm going to explain what this is all about. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he has Joe Madden glasses.
You got some rec specs.
I don't know what that means, but I have new glasses on. They're fairly black, thick rims.
Yeah,
totally the opposite of what I used to
you
wear.
Look like Harry Carey.
You know what? That's not bad. I'm gonna because people are listening to this. People are listening and not hearing, or are listening and not seeing.
Hi, everybody. Hey, everybody. Huh. What are you doing about that?
I'm going to start singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game really badly.
Let me hear you.
No, I'm going to tweet out a photo of me in these new glasses because this leads to a Jumpin' Charlie story.
You do have a Joe Madden vibe going too. It's honestly not a bad look.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a little jarring, but I can get used to it. Did he eat your glasses?
He ate my glasses. Yeah.
Wow.
He previously ate my couch. And a couple of days ago, I wake up to find my glasses on the floor. And I'm like, all right, so I drop them or something. I pick them up and this is what they look like. This is, again, I'm going to show you real quickly. Where's the...
What are you there doing? Okay. God, this is not your first time using Zoom.
I know. I don't know where the camera.
Oh my God! All right, Dad. The ends of like the parts okay. You put over your ears are chewed.
Yes,
we get it.
That's right. Okay. So anyway, Jumpin' Charlie ate my glasses. These are glasses I bought years ago as a backup pair, and I've never worn them until now. But we're putting Charlie in boot camp for 4 weeks. We're sending him away to boot camp, and we're going to see how that goes. With the money we're spending, he better come back speaking like three languages and playing the violin because it's really ridiculous what we're spending on this dog to try to get him trained and not jumping and not
eating. What would you rather do? If I literally gave you the option, you can have Charlie come back one of two ways. One, he's completely jumping trained and doesn't jump on people anymore.
Right.
Or two, he literally can play the violin. And you'll be able to take him around and pretend and potentially profit off of him playing the violin.
Oh, I would take that for sure.
You'd live with the jumping and then whore out the dog. And then he wouldn't even be a pet anymore. You would just send Charlie on the road.
He'd be an act.
You'd get another home dog and he would just be on the road.
That's right. He would begin by speaking the three languages. That's like his warm-up act. And then he would get into... I would buy him a canine Stradivarius. It would be like a really good violin.
Like Andy Kaufman would be, like the language part, he'd be standing on stage like Andy Kaufman, just like reading The Great Gatsby.
Correct.
And then he would pull out a violin.
Yes, Jumpin' Charlie. I got to come up with a better name for him, though, a better stage name than Jumpin' Charlie.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I'm trying on these. I'm asking people what they think, and so far I've gotten pretty good reviews, but the tie-breaking review is that your mother does not like the look.
Really?
So
I think you should just like let it try to grow on her. Like I haven't seen him in person.
Yeah,
but it's a sophisticated look.
You know, the Joe Madden analogy does not bother me.
No,
it really doesn't.
How does the Harry Carey one?
That bothers me a little bit more because it's accompanied with the one time I was in the company of Harry Carey in a baseball press box decades ago, I noticed that he was like He used to drink Budweiser throughout a game.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Chris, you don't know this?
That's why he sounded like that?
He would be hammered by like the fourth inning.
Hi, everybody.
I learned what beer was because watching Cubs on WGN.
No.
Oh, yeah.
When did he stop broadcasting?
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
Like, I'm trying to think. Like, I think I was too young for him.
Yeah. But he used to have beer in a cooler, like a little styrofoam chest. It was pretty funny to watch.
And it was just allowed.
It was allowed, and he didn't hide it. I mean, I forget why I was in his company for a minute, but he didn't mind that a Miami reporter is there watching him sitting next to a cooler.
He stopped in 97. He went till 97, so I could have definitely seen him at points.
At one point, he was at a Marlins game, because that's where I saw him. This would have been like the first 4 or 5 years of the Marlins before he quit.
Yeah.
So that's when that was. But enough about Jumpin' Charlie and my new look, which may or may not be temporary. Christopher, we're recording this a little earlier than usual because you're going away. Where? What are you doing?
I'm going to Pittsburgh for the Greg Cody Show is sending me to cover Bucks Steelers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats on that trip.
What we did was when the sporting calendar came out this year, we just took a big, we have all the sporting events in all of the world on a big thing.
Sure we do.
And we spin the wheel, and wherever it lands, we send people. One of them was the Braves championship parade that landed there for Yeti, so we sent him there.
Yep.
And now it's landed on, and for me, it landed on Bucks Steelers week 5 of the NFL season in 2022. That's so I'm great. Going there. I'll be maybe on Sunday, because like the way we do this podcast is we record a bulk of it in the week, like at late in the week, and then on Sunday night we do like a little recap 10 minutes. So the final 10 minutes of this episode, you know, maybe you guys want to call me, like maybe, you know, maybe I'll answer, maybe I won't. But
yeah, no, we will. I'm gonna call you because that you're gonna see history made in Pittsburgh, because that could be one of the most lopsided games in the history of the NFL, because the idea of Kenny Pickett in his first professional start playing against that defense.
Dad, he started like this past week, didn't he?
No, his first home start, I meant. I'm okay, sorry, my bad. Home start.
Okay.
It's his first home start. You're right. He did start last week.
You like slowed down on that too? You slowed down on that? I was like, what's going on with him right
well,
now?
Well, all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, Kenny Pickett does play for the Steelers, right? That's why I slowed down. I was in mid-second guess. I'm like, if I embarrass myself by getting the wrong team. But I did get the fact that this is his home opener. But imagine Tampa Bay's defense against Kenny Pickett, who's playing behind a bad offensive line.
Yeah, but Dad, this is the NFL, though. Like
Najee Harris has been no help to anybody this year, including his fantasy owners. I mean, Kenny Pickett's going to have a nightmare Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, hey, stop reporting on this game. That's my scoop.
Okay,
all right, I'll talk about it on Sunday.
Okay,
but,
good.
You
better, because we're paying you big bucks to go on this trip.
But I'm mainly looking forward. I've turned it into a little weekend trip with my wife.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to mainly Primanti Brothers. Now I've had Primanti Brothers down here, like Pittsburgh, but I want to go to like, you know, I want to go eat
in
some
the good, locale, right?
Yeah, I want to go eat some Pittsburgh food. Never been to Pittsburgh. Heard it's pretty. Actually, I know like Pittsburgh,
you think
like rough and like, you know, hard work in Pittsburgh town, but I've heard it's actually really nice.
It is. It's gorgeous, especially this time of year. The leaves should be in full bloom and it should be really great for you.
Yeah.
I got escorted out of, there's a little town right on the edge of Pittsburgh called Duquesne, and I got escorted out of town by the sheriff's deputy.
Oh man. I was like thinking you were going somewhere else with that story. Like you got kicked out of somewhere.
No, the sheriff basically said I was going to end up in a body bag if he didn't get me out of town right then.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was I was in between jobs, and this guy hired me to go put for sale signs on houses that he had bought from the bank sight unseen. He was just the banks were just liquidating them, so he'd buy them for like $1,000.
Yeah,
and then I don't know if he'd refurbish them and flip. No, it was just for sale. He was just trying to basically sell them for anyone who wanted to buy them up and pay him a little bit more. So I drove all over in one weekend. I drove, you know, from North Carolina to Indiana to Detroit, Battle Creek, Michigan, ended up all the way out in Pittsburgh. And my last stop was
paying you for, like, was this worth it?
It paid for my bills for a couple weeks while I was out of work before my next job started. I had a job lined up, but it was a couple weeks before they could hire me.
Yeah.
And so I ended up in this house, walls were torn off of this house
in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah, in Duquesne, technically. But yes, Pittsburgh. Walls were had been removed, had fallen, been broken through on the house. There were needles everywhere. There's graffiti everywhere. Wow. And I just had to put this for sale sign up. And this sheriff came up. I'm calling my mom. And it, I see this Suburban pull up. And he's got a shotgun mounted right beside his right beside the driver's seat. And he's yelling at me, "What the F are you doing here?" And I'm like, "How are you talking to my mother?" and he's like, "What the F are you doing here?" And I was like, I explained to him a little bit about what was going on. And then he was like, "You crank your car and you follow me out now." And so I followed him out to the bottom of the hill that I was on. We passed the Duquesne sign and he gets out. He pulls me over and gets out and he says, "Next time you're in Duquesne, stop by the sheriff's office first so we can get a copy of your driver's license. That way we can ID your body." And I was like, okay.
That can't be legal.
I will not ever go to Duquesne again, I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
All right, that's where I'm headed. So that should be fun.
Okay, well, stay out of Duquesne is the moral of that story.
But you'll be in Pittsburgh. It's gorgeous, Chris. You should have a great
day. Dad, have you ever gotten escorted out of any place?
Like for my own safety?
No. Like kicked out of somewhere.
No.
What about you, Yeti?
No, kicked out of somewhere? No.
Yeah, me neither. It just seems like it'd be a fun... I'm trying to think.
I don't think I've even been kicked out of a bar. Like, back in the day, back when I used to drink. I don't think I've even been...
Actually, I think one time when I was with that Epcot drinking around the world with a group of people, somebody in my group did something where they were basically like, "We want this whole group out of here." Where like I like didn't do anything, but you know, my group, I was with some rambunctious people, and like it was late in the night, and the drinks had been flowing all day, and like they were kind of just like, "You guys have done enough. All right, that'll be all. Thank you."
Wow, that's never happened to me. What else are you going to do in Pittsburgh? Because the waterfront is really nice there. The riverfront, I should say.
I've been looking up some YouTube videos of like, you know, all the stuff that's like things you got to do in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, nothing's really jumping off, you know, at me that I'm super excited about outside of the football game. But I'm just excited to get away from a few days. You know, the grandparents are watching the kid, wife and I. It's just... I'm mainly just looking at it as me and my wife just getting away for a few days and get to explore a city, you know.
Big time good for you. That's something my wife and I haven't done enough. We've actually only had one night away from our kids that wasn't involved being in the hospital with other kids.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we don't live close to family, so
yeah, it's a little more difficult. That is it. We are very lucky with that.
Yeah, you are. Don't I know it. Listen, Angela Lansbury died, and the only reason I'm mentioning it is that Jessica Smetana was on the podcast once.
God, it's one of the worst ideas you've ever had in the history of podcasting.
I'm just telling you.
My dad texted me this week and he's like, "Hey, I think we should have Jessica give us a minute like eulogy."
Yes.
Because she was named after a character that this lady... just like, "Dad, can I leave Jessica alone, please?"
Okay, she was named for Jessica Fletcher, Angela Lansbury's famous character from Murder, She Wrote.
And what do you think she would have to say about, like what is she going to add other than, like, yeah, that stinks?
I think it would be very emotional for her. I do.
You want her to cry, so you want her to,
harvest Jessica's tears for ratings.
Right, like, yes, just blubbering. I would like her to either cry or feign crying, you know, one way or another. I want to have a quick show meeting on the air before we move on. I wonder, do guests like Larry Zonka and Aaron Ekblad work with our audience? Yeah, I'm honestly curious about that because...
Why did they not download? Well,
the downloads are okay. You know, they're not like I would say they're not as good as usual. And I'm speaking about those two specific...
Well, my dad episodes. Also doesn't understand how time works sometimes. And he'll be like, "Man, this episode 2 months ago is crushing the episode we just released." And I'll be like, "Dad, that's how it works, because that episode's been out for 2 months." Like, my dad wants every episode, like in the first 3 days, to get all the downloads it will get.
That's correct. That would be great if it did.
I get that.
It is something we do want to keep track of it. I do appreciate his, like, the way he keeps track of it. But
yeah,
I just think, yeah, like when we have, you know, we get a lot of downloads. So when you have a lot of downloads, there's going to be weeks where, you know, maybe one-tenth of our audience had shit going on and they haven't gotten to us yet.
That's true.
They'll catch up. Like,
that's true.
Like, your complaints are literally like you pinpoint, like, we have to hit certain numbers or you're like,
I know,
worried.
But I do think this, maybe it's because of my Miami Herald ties. I'm a little prejudiced on this count, but when I have a guest like Larry Zonka or Aaron Eckblad.
Dad, no one cares. I mean, I'm just being honest. Larry Zonka is an old name.
Like, okay.
I'm 35 years old and like I'm a Dolphins fan who's 35 years old. And that's just like an it's not a bad name. I'm not like, I don't want to disrespect Larry Zonka, but it doesn't excite me and I'm a Dolphins. So I'm like your demo for that interview.
Yeah, I will say this. The column I wrote, which partnered with him being on the podcast, the column I wrote on Zonka has had more page views than anything I've written in a while. Like it's done very well online.
Old people read.
but I'm just wondering aloud. Our demographic, our podcast audience doesn't particularly like athletes as guests, really.
They can let us know and leave us a review. Tell us.
Yeah, I'd be
please give us a 5-star review, but tell us what you really think.
I would. I would be curious about that. And the other thing. In the spirit of show meeting, and then we'll move on.
Or do you just like when we just turn the mics on and yuck it up? Because that's, I think, I don't even know if I don't want to speak for Yeti, but I prefer those type of episodes. I mean, obviously, I like our good interviews, but like when we're just turning the mics on and like, you know, having some fun with Greg Cody, that's what I think the audience almost craves the most. And those are the episodes where we'll get like an anxiety text from Greg Cody on like Wednesday, like, guys, we have no plan. We need a guest. Christopher, can you text Kirkchen? We need like, you know, like, Dad, just relax.
That's true.
We can just turn the mics on and talk and people like it.
When
like,
you introduced that concept last year, that got a lot of good feedback on our social accounts, a lot of messages and just replies to the original like show tweet about how much they enjoyed that.
Right. Less segmented, just us turning the mics on for 45 minutes and taking the people on the ride of their life.
So there you go. Sort of like today.
The cinephile guests that we're having this week, this episode comes out Monday, so it's like this week right now, we have Alexa... I don't want to script their name. We have a couple that wrote a book. They were in Spy Kids. Like she was in Spy Kids like in 2001. She's an adult now. Long story short, it's not someone that really interests Adnan and I. But we were like, they have like five, between the two of them, they have like 5.5 million followers on social. So we were just like, should we just pander to a big audience and hopefully they'll retweet it? And we were just like, all right, we'll take this interview.
Yeah,
it honestly, well. Obviously I'm underselling it, but it was honestly a really fun conversation for how little we like genuinely were into the interview going into it. It actually turned into a good interview. So go check that out. It comes out later in the week because I'm on vacation right now. So it's going to be a little later in the week, but check that out because sneaky good interview for an interview that we had no interest in.
Right, very smoothly put plug by you. That was that very artfully done. The other show meeting topic before we move on is, and this occurred to me when I was listening to the last week's episode, and the first words I heard out of my mouth were vibrating anal beads. Yes. And I wondered to myself, is our show getting too naughty? No. I'm being serious here.
Listen to this week's cinephile. We were not getting too naughty.
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah. I just, you know, I always picture, because keep in mind, I think our young demographic, and I do think most of our listeners are in their 20s, 30s, middle age or younger. I picture, I don't want to turn off the guy or the woman who's listening to our podcast with their 11-year-old and they're embarrassed by stuff they hear said. Am I overthinking that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You are.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we are not a raunchy podcast. We might laugh at a stupid, like, you know, butt joke every once in a while or something, but like.
Boke.
All right. But, I don't mind being PG. I just don't want
to. Most people also, like, you know, their kids are looking at some device in the backseat. They're not even listening to the podcast that they have over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Let's just start throwing around F bombs and just get
like, hey, kid, let's test the theory out right now. Hey, kid. Hey. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Do your homework. All right. Yeah. If you're listening to this right now and your mom, this is your mom and dad's podcast. Hey, but I just want you to know I'm talking to you right now. Do your homework.
That's right. Dad may be wearing vibrating anal beads. You never know.
Jesus. You didn't have to follow it. Now that's inappropriate because I literally called the attention to the kids. And then if you.
I'm just telling the spirit of honesty. I got to tell the guy, you know, I've never done that while driving, but it could be. Could be quite an experience.
Wait, so you've done it just not while driving?
No, I haven't. Are you kidding? I was thinking of that last week anyway. And
what, of trying it?
I don't like Greg Cody.
The only thing that's ever been up my butt was the finger of the proctologist.
Oh my God, Dad.
No, I'm just saying. I'm being very honest right now. Okay.
I haven't done that. I haven't had a colonoscopy yet.
Yeah, it's
I mean, I'm too young for it, right? Isn't it like 40?
You're getting close.
My doctors haven't started with the colonoscopy talk yet, but I said but.
That's like the most immature thing Yeti's ever done right there.
Outside of screaming expletives at last week's Mariners game.
That's true.
But yeah, they the checking the prostate, that's pretty much every year now. So
good to know. Dad, you look better. Dad, you look better with the glasses. You look better with the glasses.
Why?
I think you look younger. I don't know. It's just a good look.
I'm really interested to see what they look like as he grows his hair out again and maybe when he grows his beard. I'm interested to see the new look of Greg Cody.
Okay. I can't wait till the Lebatard show to see the Lebatard show audience to see you.
Yeah, I'm curious about that myself. Do either of you watch The House of Dragons?
No.
No, do you? Are you about to like have a take on something you've never watched and then we're going to find out that it was...
No, I'm about to have a take on something that I have watched because... You
is
know,
this another take on it being gory that you've already given three times?
No.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is a prequel to the Game of Thrones, which I adored. Okay, so I've tried to love the House of Dragons. Okay, not only the gore that I've mentioned before, which is a little bit of a turnoff, but
I thought you were about to do a whole rhyme thing. Not only the gore that I've mentioned before.
Well, yeah, if I were a rapper, I would be freestyling right now. It's too complicated. I'm sorry. And whenever I say that, your mom always makes
now
fun
you
of
sound
me.
Old. Now you sound old.
Well, it makes me sound dumb is what it makes me sound like.
Right.
But I think it's too complicated. And it's low and mumbly.
Turn your volume up.
You know what I had your mother do the other night?
What, put the captions on?
I had her... No, I hate closed captions. Mm. I had her turn the volume up to 100.
Dad.
Oh my gosh, Greg.
Dad, you are watching TV wrong. Embrace the captions.
I don't like captions.
Dad, I love closed captions.
Yeah.
I hate closed captions.
It has changed that. Have you watched a movie with closed caption?
Yeah, it's annoying.
No, it like literally makes it easier. There are so many times where, no, Dad, it is so good. I have come around.
I have eyesight. I don't need Braille. You know, Dad, I mean, speak up.
Dad, you're literally just got done telling us that you aren't taking in the information. Like, you're struggling to take in what they're telling you. This helps that.
Okay. It's low and mumbly. It's complicated.
Turn it up. Turn the volume up.
And we did do 100, and it was still strange to hear.
I mean,
and
the other thing is just weird that you
in the last episode I saw in called The House of Dragons, nary a dragon. Zero dragons in the entire episode. That's the only reason I watch.
Is that your next Back in My Day? Dragons!
There should be dragons. Back in my day, there were dragons.
There was some promo, I believe, for that show on like the baseball playoffs with like Bob Costas tossing it to a sideline reporter who was like, hey guys, all of a sudden there's a dragon here. And then they like CGI'd in a real dragon over like the outfield.
I did see that. Yes. I love that.
And then it was like, and then it flies away and they're like, by the way, House of Dragons is on HBO Max. Check it out. It was just a promo.
That was my favorite part of the whole game. It was great.
Apparently they sent the dragon to Yankee Stadium and right. They didn't send it to the show.
It was misleading advertising. I want to ask you guys a question. And I mean this sincerely.
You could, I mean, it's your podcast, so just ask it.
Yeah, that's true. Are we over Kanye West?
I've been over him for a long time.
Is he too big to be canceled? This anti-Semitism thing he's doing and not backing down from, it's just, I don't know, are the rules different for him? Is he not subject to just a mass repudiation?
I think people are pretty repudiated right now.
Yeah.
I mean, whether he actually will get canceled, I don't know with all his businesses, but I think people are as out on him as they've been because a lot of the times in the past, it hasn't been like crossing the line stuff. It's just been like Kanye is a little bit of a wacko.
Right.
Now it's like crossing the line of like genuinely offensive.
Yeah.
So I think outside of, I don't know what you want other than I think everybody shares the views the three of us are saying right now. So like what more is there than that?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's basically he's going to keep saying things. It's just how much do we want to listen? That's where he gets his power.
It's almost bad us doing what we're doing right now is like what he wants from it, like almost.
Right. He gets, you know, he only has the power, and this is true of anyone, you know, they only have the power most of the time that we are willing to give them, whether we're electing someone in office, whether they're giving them a rating on, you know, by listening to their show or buying their album or anything like that, or by following them on social media.
Talking about them on our platforms?
You know, but there are people that, I mean, like, you know, powerful people that are speaking up against it. I mean, you know, use LeBron's company, the Spring Hill, their statement on him and choosing not to air and get the clicks from having him on the shop, you know?
Right. Correct. And JP Morgan Chase just dropped him. And when the major sponsors start leaving you, maybe that gets your attention as well.
Why was JP, like, what, they were sponsoring Kanye? What? It's like,
yeah, he that's like his banking partner or something.
Is he a spokesperson for them or something?
I'm not sure, but there was definitely...
A bank could just drop me, like Bank of America could just be like, Chris, you're gone.
As a sponsor or as a client? I mean...
I mean, I just said, were they sponsoring him? And you're like, ah, he banked with them.
I don't know the exact detail of his contract with JP Morgan, but at any rate, they cut ties with him, which under normal circumstances would be unheard of. Okay, so Tom Brady buys a Major League Pickleball team. I never knew there was a thing called Major League Pickleball.
I love the way you've been doing this podcast in recent weeks, where it genuinely looks like you just have a list with seven of the most random. I mean, this is not that random, but like, you know, Nick Cannon a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I love, like, I just imagine you calling it. Do you have a sheet that says show prep and then under a line and then like seven dashes?
Yeah, that's right.
And then how can I make this sound natural? Hey, can I ask you guys something? You know what? By the way, while I'm on the topic. Tom Brady has a pickleball team. Hey, everybody.
Put the glasses back on.
In honor of my new look, I want you to do an entire show as Harry Carey next week.
And you're also seven Miller Lights deep.
Well, if you think this is coffee, you got another thing coming.
Yeah.
But this only holds two Miller Lights, so I'm in trouble right now because I'm
getting... Do you wash out that coffee that you drink all day before you pour the beer in there?
Oh, of course I do.
Or is it like beer? Is it like coffee tasting Miller Light?
No. It's coffee. When I piss in it in the middle of the night, then I really clean it out. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. I've never done that more than once. So is it too late to change the name of pickleball? Because the sport is taking off.
Yeah.
It's like miniature tennis.
Why is it called pickleball?
Ridiculous name ever.
It does jump out at you, though. Pickleball. Like pickle.
I think it started in Seattle. So
it flows. Yeah, find out. Look it up, Yeti. Why is it called pickleball? But, Dad, what's like...
Yeah, what is the origin of that name? I'm not surprised it became like a regional, fun little offbeat sport somewhere. I am surprised that it got national and now is major league with these special courts all over the country, and that it's still called pickleball.
I've always wondered why Dick's Sporting Goods went with the name Dick's. Like,
wasn't his name Richard?
I'm just saying, though, like, he had options. He could have named it something else.
He could have, yeah.
But it also, like, Dick's Sporting Goods, like, it jumps out like, oh, that's interesting. I'm not going to forget that. Whereas pickleball kind of has that appeal, like, where it's like, it's such a random word. Pickles are very polarizing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a random name. I don't understand the correlation of why it's called pickleball, but I get it as... A good sounding pickleball. If it flows.
Yeah. So it started in 1965, Bainbridge Island, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle. And by a guy named Joel Pritchard, and according to his wife, the name of the game became pickleball after she said that it reminded her of the pickle boat and crew where oarsmen were chosen from leftovers of other boats. I don't understand why that
works.
I
was hoping that was going somewhere else.
Yeah.
That it reminded her of his...
Hey, lady, want to play pickleball? But I played this when I lived out in Seattle. That's where I first heard of it because it's been huge out there since the 60s.
And how many times are you going to say in this episode that it started in Seattle? Yeah, I think you've already done three.
At least three more, and it depends, you know, if we don't give up another stupid-ass home run to dumbass Alvarez. I hate him. He's a problem.
Okay, yeah.
All right, where's the Starbucks reference? Is that coming?
I couldn't care less about Starbucks. I'm not a coffee drinker.
So. Okay, I don't mind Starbucks. Dad joke of the week. What is Michelle Obama's favorite vegetable?
Michellery.
That's not bad. It's not right, but it's not bad.
Michellid.
Christopher?
Michellid.
Nothing?
No.
Michelle Obama's favorite vegetable is broccoli.
That's good. I like that.
It's not bad.
More like Barack D. I'm sorry, that was a bad joke.
Oh, my gosh, Chris.
I do have a new monk, Greg Moore, believe it or not.
That's actually a good joke by me.
What was it? Say it again.
Barack D.
What does that mean?
It's just broccoli, but instead of putting a D there, because Barack D. All right, anyways.
Okay.
Barack's D, Greg.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Look, see, that's what I said earlier. We're getting too naughty. Naughty.
Especially when you whisper.
Okay. Do we want to do a Mount Greg more of Larry's?
Sure.
Why okay. and why not? Yeah, well,
it's a good question.
Hit it. Hit the music. Hit his intro.
This is an homage to Larry Zonka, the great guest we just had on our podcast a couple of weeks ago from the Miami Dolphins' 1972 perfect season.
You really know how to sell these episodes. If we're not doing it with Larry Zonka, we're doing it with top Larrys of all time.
Well, I'm going to say this. To build up the suspense, Larry Zonka is purposely not on our Mount Gregmore, but would be otherwise for sure. Also of note, I had a long-lost childhood friend named Larry Kuhn, did not make the list, okay? No Lawrence is here. What are you laughing at?
I mean, like, why would your random friend make a top five all-time Larry's list?
Well, because it's my list, and he's Larry Kuhn. We used to play basketball in his concrete court, caddy corner, about a block and a half away during the 1440 years. No Lawrence is here either. No given name Larry's who were known by other names like Chipper Jones. Larry's only. First, honorable mentions. Larry Holmes. Larry Flint. Larry Hagman. Larry the Cable Guy. And Larry Lobster from SpongeBob SquarePants. Number five.
You've never watched a single episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. Were you just like, I need something young in here, and you saw his name on a list, so you're just like, let me throw that in there?
He was the first black baseball player in American League history, but is ignored by history for not being Jackie Robinson. He's Larry Doby.
Wait, he's the second black baseball player?
That's right.
Wow.
He's the Avis of baseball
black.
That is
true. That he should get a little more curly. Yeah. I'm not saying Jackie should obviously get, right. But like the second guy, I'm sure, yeah, didn't have it great.
It's kind of a disproportionate fall off from one to two when it comes to that kind of thing.
Really is.
Number four, he was the gravelly-voiced American TV radio host and interviewer who got his start in Miami radio and was briefly a color commentator on local Dolphins broadcast. Died last year at 87, did Lawrence Zeger, better known as Larry King.
I was eating Cherry's Jubilee.
Garlic, it's in unique.
Number three. He is only 36 in all-time most points in NBA history and actually never won a scoring title, yet enjoys esteem well beyond that. His epic rivalry with Magic Johnson certainly didn't hurt. Isn't that right? Larry Bird.
The Hick from French Lick.
That's right.
He enjoys esteem?
Esteem. E-S-T-E-E-M.
Oh, I thought you were saying he enjoys a good steam. Like he takes a big shit. Like he's just
love a good steam, Greg.
He does. He does. He does like that too. And him and Magic in the tub.
Enjoys a big steam. Enjoys a steam.
Number two. He was an entertainer and comedian who was an expert violinist, had a gambling problem at racetracks, and would die of a stroke in a nursing home in 1975. But before that, he made his mark in a comedy trio. The Three Stooges were Mo, Larry, and Curly.
There we go.
And the Larry was Larry Fine. And number one, no surprise here, because Greg loves him. Larry was Saturday Night Live writer, co-created Seinfeld, stars in Curb Your Enthusiasm when he decides to do it, makes being an asshole lovable. He's Larry Bleepin' David is who he is. Larry David.
Yeah, it's a good list.
Another award-winning Mount Gregmore, ladies and gentlemen.
It's never won an award.
Greg, I'm kind of disappointed. The one I thought you would have had on there was Larry from Newhart. Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
That's not bad.
Oh, that didn't land. Greg was just being nice to me there.
No, Larry, I remember Daryl and Daryl, though. I don't remember Larry.
Hey, my name's Larry. This is my brother, Daryl. This is my other brother, Daryl.
No, the two Daryls stole that.
You're right. I suck.
Yeah, that Larry wouldn't have qualified there. And from that award-winning Mount Gregmore, we're taking a break.
Let's see if you can find me in Pittsburgh.
Okay, we're going to look. We're going to send an FBI agent to come, confiscate your documents and find you.
for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Real Cream!
Hey, cool cats. Tired of suffering from prolonged virginity? Want to attract the kittens like a fancy lad? Well, a little dab will do you, and two will do you double. Brill Cream. Guys, put your hands on your tube and squeeze. Brill Cream. Dabbing it.
Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Brill Cream, what's the matter to you? Fancy lad must always look so debonair. Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Brill Cream, what's the matter to you? All the ladies love a lad with Brill Cream.
All right, well, thanks to me for another award-winning Mount Gregmore.
You already said that before we went to break, but I guess no thanks is good enough. So
it bears repeating, believe me. This was one of the great ones. I saw rave reviews in our comment section on wherever the hell that was.
We did. We got a review begging for more Mount Gregmore. I'm glad we were able to deliver even before that was asked.
That's right. Almost like we planned it that way. Almost like it was me who wrote that review, which I would take blame or credit for if I was smart enough to know how to actually do that. But, okay, NFL Sunday, I was at the Dolphin game. We're recording this Sunday night. I was at the Dolphin game earlier Sunday. And if this doesn't set an NFL record, it ties one. This was the third game in a row where the Miami Dolphins finished a game with a different quarterback than the one who started the game. It's just astounding what's happened with them. They've lost three quarterbacks to injuries. And today they lost to the Vikings. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the game, Yeti, but probably wasn't worth watching. It was a punt fest and very boring. For a long time, the Dolphins ended up losing by 6 points, I think. I don't know what to say about the Dolphins right now. You know what they need? The theme of the column that I wrote was that we spent 2 years maligning Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback, wondering if he's good enough, and now we miss the hell out of him because, you know, the two backup quarterbacks have just been insufficient. Tua is supposed to make his grand comeback this coming Sunday against Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a big evening because they're honoring the 72 perfect season team. Tua is making his big comeback, so that's going to be a special night. I want to mention this is another crazy weekend in the NFL. Atlanta beat San Francisco. The Jets win at Green Bay. The Giants beat Baltimore. And the big game, I'm so glad we sent special correspondent Chris Cody to Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh wins against Tampa Bay at home. Bad season, and Pittsburgh beats the Bucks and Tom Brady. So hopefully we're going to hear from Chris Cody live from Pittsburgh soon. But
what I should do, if I'm being a bad friend but a good producer,
yes,
is I'd bring up the audio where earlier in this episode you announced that it was going to be that Pittsburgh was going to be absolutely trounced by the Tampa Bay Bucks defense.
Yes,
and it didn't happen. They even had to bring in Trubisky because Pickett got injured his wrist or his hand or something like that.
I heard it was a concussion.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah. It was the Dolphins quarterback that hurt his wrist or hand. It was,
he hurt his thumb, yeah.
I can't even remember his name. That's how bad
it is. Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, Skylar, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great name for a quarterback, Skylar.
Yeah, better than Pickett, you know.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Kenny Interception. You know, it's just a bad name for a quarterback.
So I saw that Pickett went out and Trubisky had to come in and rally everyone together. So
right.
That was interesting. I guess that helps his resume. Does the drop off into his absence, does that help him in his rating with the coaches and everything, or does that make it more likely that they'll just go nuclear and wipe the whole slate in the offseason?
No, I think it enhances the esteem for Tua. Keep in mind, when he left 3 games ago with a concussion, he was leading the NFL in passer rating at the time. He was off to a great start.
And he had won 10 out of his last 11 starts.
Right. Yes. And the start he was off to this season had really been a redemption for him after 2 years of being doubted by his own team and disrespected, really, I thought. And
I want to challenge you on that, though. Is it really? Because, I mean, he ended the games well, but this was their fifth consecutive game where they entered the fourth quarter behind.
Again, with Tua, you mean?
No, with the Dolphins, period.
Sure.
Like, so, I mean, even the last few with Tua, like, they still didn't have the, you know, they aren't carrying leads into the fourth quarter, even on the games they were winning.
Right. Well, they're, you know, I think they're a team that's can be a good team when healthy. I'm not saying they're a great team, and they've got problems. I mean, going into today, there was only 4 teams in the whole league that had given up more points defensively than Miami. So I'm not bragging that they're a great, well-rounded team, but what I'm saying is that Tua had been having a really redemption-type season when he was injured. And now, after 3 games, almost 3 games of seeing these two backups try to do his job and failing largely, I just think it's like all of a sudden, we love you, Tua. Please come back soon. Get well soon. You know, I just think the esteem, the fan regard for Tua Tagovailoa is better than it's been his whole time here. So we'll see about that. Christopher could call in anytime. Maybe he's drunk in a bar, isn't getting our message. I have no idea. But meantime, yeah, you're probably as big a baseball fan as me, if not bigger. Let's talk a little bit about baseball and your beloved Mariners, who were swept, but nevertheless had a memorable season.
Yeah, that yesterday was tough. It was I don't know that I'm an overall baseball fan. I noticed that because I wouldn't watch any other teams for 18 innings.
Right.
Not at all. But I feel it with this Mariners crew. And to the point, yesterday brought me to an interesting place with, we'll call it my baseball faith. And I called it a kind of a crisis of faith because since I was 4, I've been a Braves fan. I fell in love with the Mariners when I was 25 or 26. So yeah. It's been 15 years or 16 years now. And when I moved out there, they were my first major league team I ever saw play like that. I got to go to a major league game. That was the first one, was the Mariners.
Wow.
And I just fell in love with them. They gave me a similar feeling that the terrible mid-80s Braves did too. And so I actually followed them closer than the Braves. Last year, I followed them about equal because the Braves were actually making a World Series run.
Yeah, they're good.
But I follow the Mariners closer. And like I do wonder if I'm at a point where I might be out on the Braves altogether, or might be, as Bomani Jones says, off that narcotic. They've done some things in this offseason, or between last season, you know, the growing embarrassment of the chop. It's just,
yeah.
It's like the Mariners don't really, they had someone in their front office, like maybe their owner or the CEO, said some really crappy stuff last year.
Right.
But the team as a whole gives me nothing to be ashamed of. The chop's pretty shameful. And then the whole Ozuna thing, that they aren't willing to do anything extra to really set a standard with Ozuna and his domestic violence stuff, than the drunk driving stuff. Like I'm not sure. I'm not ready to say I am off the narcotic completely, but like, I boycotted them all year. I muted all their social media stuff. I didn't follow any of the games. I didn't watch any of the games, but I followed the Mariners the whole time.
Right.
And so yesterday, watching that game, like, it's just nerves the entire time. Like, the first couple innings, whatever, not nerves. It's just like, let's go. Let's get this game started. And then my wife said we had to go out and eat, which was fine. But, you know, and then it went, like, the ninth inning kicked in. Then we went into extras, and it was just like, just nerves, such like just intense nerves. And then every time it's like, I really don't want to see Yordan Alvarez again. He could wreck us any moment. And this is where maybe I had a religious crisis of faith too, because commercial break happened at the end of the 17th, went up to have family prayer with my wife and kids. And I come downstairs and Pena had hit the home run that put the Astros in the lead. Maybe we shouldn't have prayed. Maybe prayer doesn't work.
I'm telling you, it's enough to make you question your religion, I would think. I hate to go that far.
But I will say, Mina Kimes put this really well and said, I'm just really excited to watch this team in the future, and Julio Rodriguez is ours. And that's the way I'll cap this off. I'm excited for next season.
I'm going to interrupt you because we've talked about the Seattle Mariners about 9 minutes longer than I wanted to. And now appearing on our Zoom from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is Greg Cody Show correspondent Chris Cody. What are you wearing exactly? It looks weird what you're wearing.
I'm just wearing a hoodie.
Is what it snowing? I don't know Pittsburgh weather.
It's like 55 right now.
Okay. So, Christopher,
weather was perfect. I was at the game. It was like 62, like a little like, it was just perfect.
Okay. I'm going to admit I gave Pittsburgh less chance of winning than any team in the NFL this weekend, and they kicked my ass. That's right.
I'm Greg Cody. Yeah.
What's happening here? Okay. All right. You know what? That's my timer saying that my dinner is done, but this is so important that we're going to continue this. Christopher, tell me now, an added bonus to all this is that the Dolphins play Pittsburgh next week, which suddenly in my mind becomes like a difficult game for Miami.
Yeah, how'd the Dolphins look today? I didn't see a second of that.
Yeah, they looked pretty bad.
Why did Teddy Bridgewater play?
Because Skylar Thompson hurt his thumb like three series into the game.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, very nice. That's why we pay him the big bucks. And Teddy came in and did, he threw for a ton of yards. He also threw two interceptions. The Dolphins had three turnovers. They took six sacks. They had 10 penalties.
Do you think the Dolphins told Skylar Thompson to get hurt so they could play Teddy Bridgewater without like it being a controversy with all the concussion protocols?
Tune into Football Illuminati next week.
We'll give you a $100,000 bonus, Skylar, if you pretend your thumb hurts in the first quarter.
Right. Supposedly, he couldn't even grip a football when he came out.
That's what she said.
Mike McDaniel did say that if he was healthy enough to, he would have put Skylar Thompson back in the game. Anyway.
Yo, there's so many Steelers fans. Like, I'm showing everyone right now, like, they're still out. Like, the Steelers are 2-4 now. And you would think that they're leading a division and, like, just won a championship around here.
Well, they just beat Tom Brady. I mean, you're allowed to be happy.
I'm just saying, though, look, I don't want to, like, talk about, like, I can't throw stones because I wear, like, a Heat shirt to work, like, 7 days a week.
Right.
So I can't really throw stones, but I've never seen a town that just wears Steelers and Penguins and Pirates stuff more than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's a great sports town.
Like, if you go in Miami, you don't just see people wearing all the teams. Like, anyone you look at, they have some Pittsburgh memorabilia right on it at all times.
Boston will get that way. But it's funny, when I was driving for Uber, we'd have Boston folks come into town to visit or whatever, and every dude from Boston, like, one, had a Bruins tattoo, and two, offered to show it to me. Like, you want to see my Bruins tat? And then they lift up their shirt or pull up their arm, you know, like, yeah. So Boston's that way. But yeah, Pittsburgh, they really show out.
People are really nice here. This town is there's a lot of range to Pittsburgh. Overall, the food has been really good. I am pro Pittsburgh so far. I will be honest. The people, super nice. I'm definitely a pro Pittsburgh guy. Although my wife right now is alone in a bar waiting for me to come back. So I feel a little.
I know. Yeah, I don't trust that.
Like, as much as I love Pittsburgh right now, I'm like a little nervous leaving her alone. So I'm outside. Like, I just want you to know, like, the setting of right now.
I must say, I love your wife more than I love you being on the podcast right this second. So wrap it up and get back to her. And then Yeti and I will a bow on this. So. Appreciate you joining us.
How was this appearance? Like, was this everything you wanted it to be? Do you want more from me?
Yeah.
It was good to see you working a street corner.
Yeah, I mean, this is it, right? This is all we really wanted, right? Like, yeah.
No, I love the ambiance. What else do you have to say, to be honest with you?
I don't have much else to say. I don't have much else to say.
Okay. All right. No, seriously, get back to your wife. Enjoy your evening. Be careful. Have fun. All that stuff that a parent has to say. And we'll see you soon. Second, I think.
All right, later.
Goodbye, Chris.
Yeti, before we close up shop here, I want to hark back to what we were talking about, the CHOP, the Atlanta Braves thing.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to me, and I've thought about it a lot, because I don't know if that's something that the team can stop. You're talking about asking 40,000 fans, many of them who've been doing it for two generations, to all of a sudden stop something that they consider to be a great tradition of their team. How do you do that? Like in soccer, in international soccer, they have all kind of problems with, chants that shouldn't be heard, including Mexican soccer fans, you know, chanting an anti-gay slur and everything. And FIFA steps in and penalizes the team for what its fans say. Is that something that MLB needs to do, or is that something that has to come from the fandom itself?
Well, it can from the team, and it did in 2019. They were playing the Cardinals in the NLDS, and there was someone on their team who's Cherokee, and he found it insulting. So the team stopped supporting the chant. They didn't lead it with the organ. They didn't hand out any foam tomahawks or anything. So really, you know, while the fans may have started it originally, the team drives it. They're the ones who put it up on the billboard and say, you know, whatever, let's start the chop. They start playing the music. They hand out the foam tomahawks, and they don't have to, because they did stop it in 2019, but not long after, they brought it back in full force.
Yeah.
If they want to go full nuclear and really do the right, I mean, they could just change the team name to something that isn't appropriating Native American culture by a bunch of white folks. And
right.
it's a simple thing. But the team can lead that. Yes. Would they be able to stop, you know, 15 people in the audience from doing it? No. And I don't think they'd care to cause a ruckus with that. But as a whole, they could say, we aren't going to lead that chant anymore with our music and our billboards and everything like that.
Yeah. So. And the Florida State Seminoles do the same chant.
Right.
It is an interesting baseball postseason. We're doing this as the Yankees and Guardians are playing. If the Guardians win this game on Sunday night, three of the four finalists in MLB are totally unexpected.
Yeah.
Houston is the only one that advanced.
They had over 100 wins. I think all the other teams would be less than 100. I don't remember what the Guardians' record was. But
yeah, but no, and they all, the Guardians also have a low payroll, which sort of enables cheap teams like the Miami Marlins to say, yeah, see, you don't have to spend $250 million. You can win with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so. Clinton Yates brought up a great point that he thinks that's great for baseball, and I agree with him. To be able to have your non-blue blood names make it in,
it's totally fun. Good. Yeah,
you need a mix, and having that parity, you know, especially with the postseason, that where you can dominate. You have no parity in the regular season, but then in the postseason, because baseball's weird, it gets chaotic. Weird. Yeah. People get streaky. It can really, I think that's a good mix to have. I would, of course, prefer that the Astros not be there, but oh well, I can't change that.
Yeah, so do I. I've hated them for a few years now. Anyway, we've talked way more sports than we normally do, and I want to wrap it up here. Thanks as always, Pod family. Really appreciate you all, and hope you enjoyed this episode. We did, and we'll see you all back here next week. That kind of thing. This is Harry Carey signing off. That kind of thing.
How would Harry Carey sign off of this?
All right, everybody. I got to do a better Harry. If I'm going to look like this, I have to develop a better Harry Carey.
That's your assignment for next week. Goodbye, Greg.
Yes, I'll work on it. We'll see you. Brad.